بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، فبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. عبادنا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So alhamdulillah, we will continue inshallah ta'ala from where we left off yesterday and speaking about the hadith that Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu narrates from his younger brother Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu about the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst his julasa, amongst his companions. We spoke about it a little bit, we touched on just the first part. I wanted to mention something, I slipped my mind yesterday to mention about seeking others' faults. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam, it says, وَلَا عَيَّابٍ. He never desired anyone's faults, nor did he seek them, right? And this is something we have to understand, is that in Islam, it is haram to go and look for people's faults. You know, when you do the taftish al-ayyub, right? Or the ayyub of people, this is a sin in Islam. Sometimes what we do is we try to go into the Facebook, we try to do a lot of tahqiq. We act like it is our job or responsibility to find out what is the details about this person. As if it's like some type of amana in the ummah. You know, and we spend a lot of time on this. We think about it, right? We'll go through Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter. We'll look through all the social media we can to find any dirt or details, right? I made the joke that they'll look even through the Mawlana's garbage to see if he's eating haram meat or not, right? Because this is how much we want to make sure that we are. But we have to understand, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, right? Don't spy on each other, right? تَجَسَّسَ is the spy of the Dajjal, right? It's the same exact root, right? You want to be very careful about spying and looking at each other. You're wasting your time. لا تمدن عينيك. Allah Ta'ala says, don't stretch your eyes, don't extend your eyes over there. Okay, so it's a sin in Islam, and we should try our best not to do it. So the best thing is not to go into people's profiles. Just don't. Why? You know, it just saves you a lot of stress, and you can actually focus. We can focus on our own families. That's the best part. You won't think about other people's families. We'll think about our own. I've seen a lot of people who go around this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever spends their entire time, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever spends their time investigating the awra, the aib of people, Allah Ta'ala will expose the person in their own house to all the people. And I've seen this with my own eyes, that people who spend their time looking into other people's lives, their own lives get exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ask Allah for protection. Yeah. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he never was that. His gatherings were never part of that. They never did ghaib. There's no ghaiba in his gatherings, alayhi salatu wasalam. And I told you, he would feign negligence. يَتَغَافَلْ عَمَّا لَا يَشْتَهِ. He would pretend that he didn't notice something. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. He wouldn't say it straight up. He's a man of haya, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because again, you can upset a person. And you want to keep that principle in mind. It is, again, if we're saying haram to investigate and spy on people, it is also haram to hurt another Muslim. It's haram to hurt another Muslim. We want to remember that. Whenever we speak to anyone, we cannot offend this person or harm them anyway. This Muslim brother or sister, whoever they are, they have the kalima la ilaha illa Muhammadur Rasul in their hearts. They're more valuable than the Kaaba. And once we have that in our hearts, that we love them because of the kalima, and we know them to be more valuable than the Kaaba, and I'm not just saying that, this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying this, when he made tawaf around the Kaaba, he said, ma atyabaki wa ma atyaba rihuki. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how beautiful are you, how great are you, and how great is your fragrance. But the honor of a Muslim is more sacred than you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying this. So remember this, that when you see something that you don't like, just try your best to ignore it in a beautiful way. You know, just pretend like you didn't notice it. Sometimes I'll read a WhatsApp message that I don't want to respond to, like hours later, like, I'm sorry. Because, you know, like, you know, it's easier to apologize, right, than to like, oh, I'm sorry, haram, yani, you know. I don't want to do that. I'll just ignore it. You know, it's better just ignore it, just pretend like you didn't know. People think you're bi'akuf at the end, alhamdulillah. I am bi'akuf, what can I do? I don't know anything, right? Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. You can think whatever you want, but I'm just trying to do this so I can keep the honor in front of me, okay? And the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَا يُؤْسُ مِنْهُ رَاجِيهِ وَلَا يُجِيبُ فِيهِ. But he would not upset others who did want something. So again, you don't desire it, but if someone else wants it, then you do that. There was a very interesting incident in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. You guys probably know about it. You probably heard about it. A woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, أَوْ كَمَا قَالَتْ, she said, وَهَبْتُ نَفْسِ إِلَيْكِ. She said, I give myself, Ya Rasulullah, to you. It's in front of all the Sahaba. Right? And I just, this is amazing hadith. The Prophet ﷺ looks up at her and he looks down. He doesn't say anything. But Sahaba got the point, the Prophet ﷺ is not interested. So one Sahabi goes and says, Ya Rasulullah, can I marry her? And the Prophet ﷺ says, go ahead. Do you have any mahar? He says, I don't have anything. I just have like an iron ring at home and things like that, you know, and like I only have a lungi. He's like, if you give her your lungi, who's gonna wear it? You know, you know, so, you know, mashallah, it was very simple. And then the Prophet married them off. You know, he didn't want it, alayhi salatu wasalam, so he just looked down. Other sahabi wanted it, the Prophet said, okay, fine, you can marry, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, they were very simple people, not like us. No, the function has to happen. When is the function? 6 months later. That's the first nikah. What do? You have the peygam, right? The message, and then you have the nikah, then you have the rukhsati, right? There are like three different stages. You're not really married until, you know, like the final stage, right? It's like some type of video game or something. Allah to protect us, right? You want to make sure that you make things simple, okay? And he would, Prophet ﷺ, قَدْ تَرَكَ نَفْسُهُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. The Prophet ﷺ would abandon, he completely abandoned from himself from three things, right? He left three things completely. عَنِ الْمِرَاءِ, the Prophet ﷺ would not argue. He would never argue. He didn't like arguing. Second thing is excel. The Prophet ﷺ would stop, he wouldn't be excessive in his speech and in his wealth, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Both in money, in dunyawi things, he was very minimal. And in terms of speech, kalam, the Prophet ﷺ spoke very few words, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And those things that the Prophet ﷺ did not concern him, the Prophet ﷺ did not investigate whatsoever. Okay, and the Prophet ﷺ used to do this. And I remind people that we want to meet people with the open chest, open heart. Don't tell us bad things before we meet people. Unless it's something to warn us, it's a different story. But generally, we don't want that. The Prophet ﷺ told Sahaba, don't tell me about people because I want to meet them while I'm sharh al-sadr. That I want to meet people with an open chest, open heart. If you tell me something bad, I'm already thinking bad about them. They're going to stab me in the back before I meet them. Let me talk to them nicely. Let's see what we can get to. Don't talk about people behind their backs, right? Alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught us this. Okay, and he told people not to do three things. He said, لَا يَغُمُّ أَحَدًا, to never disgrace anyone. وَلَا يَعِيبُهُ, and do not talk bad about their faults. وَلَا يَطْلُبَ عَوْرَتَهُ, and do not expose the faults of others. وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمُ إِلَّا فِي مَا رَجَى ثَوَابَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ would never speak except that which he thought reward will be there. Now, this is a hard thing because we've abandoned thinking before speaking. The Prophet ﷺ's sunnah is that you think and then you talk. You think about what you want to say, then you speak. Many times we write first, we type it out first, we write the comment first, and then we think about what we did afterwards. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَتَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ فَتَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't say anything that you regret tomorrow. Don't say anything that you regret tomorrow. So always think about it. Make mashwara. You know, make fikr. Make tadabbur. A lot of things have to happen before you decide to say something. You know, we are very, very conscious about these things. Allah Ta'ala will ask you about every single word on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar, what are we going to do? When I spent my time commenting on this Facebook that you're a liar, you're this and that, this and that, spending all this time on this other woman's Facebook like it's important to me. We should protect ourselves. Protect yourself. Because on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will ask about these things. So the Prophet ﷺ was very, very careful about it. And he told people to only speak about those things which reward was attained. And then, this is the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine you're in the majlis of the Prophet ﷺ. Everyone is easygoing, everyone's relaxed, everyone's discussing, everyone has a good time. Right? I told you, when the Prophet ﷺ talked about dunya, you talk about dunya. When they talk about akhirah, you talk about akhirah. When they talk about food, you talk about food ﷺ. But when وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمَ, when the Prophet ﷺ himself spoke, أطرق جلساؤه كأنما على رؤوسهم الطير. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ, whenever he used to speak, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would become immediately like they would be like as if they were struck with lightning, completely frozen. Their heads would bow as if birds were sitting on their heads. That's how still they were, because when the Prophet ﷺ spoke, no one would be talking. That's how much dignity the Prophet ﷺ had. He's a man again. He managed to balance two amazing qualities. And I only mention this because it's amazing to me. He is so soft and gentle and kind and nice. Right? He's such a nice person, alayhi salatu wasalam. At the same time, his speech was so powerful that when people heard him, they stopped immediately. So he had the softness and the strength at the same time. You know, he had like the Mawlana Shakir and the Mawlana Osman combination. Some people say, okay? He had, mashallah, alayhi salatu wasalam, amazing. He was the Musa and the Isa, alayhi salam, all together, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The voice of Dawood alayhi salam, the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the softness of Isa alayhi salam, and the power of Musa alayhi salam is in Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to recognize who our Nabi alayhi salam is. So when he spoke, people, they all just stopped. As if birds were sitting on their heads. Okay? And why was it that they stopped and slowed down? Because they didn't want to miss a single word he said. So they made sure that when their heads are down, their ears are more active. You know? When you see a student in front of us, many times, I tell you now, for a long time, I could never describe Hazrat Ruhul Amin Sahib to you. Because how embarrassed I was to even look at his face. It was very embarrassing to me. Right? So as students, I couldn't bring myself to look at my teacher's face. It was just shalom kibat. It felt very embarrassing. Even now, I can't look at them in their eyes because I feel very embarrassed. Right? And this is Sahaba radiallahu anhum in front of the Nabi alayhi salam, can't even look at the Prophet because of like how much respect they have for him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you lower your head, not to go to sleep, okay? When you lower your head, what happens is your ears are more active and you can listen better. And so they want to capture every single word that the Prophet ﷺ says, so that's what they did it, okay? Now everyone don't fall asleep now, don't do the muraqabah. Mawlana, I got every single word. I got everything, mashallah, okay? Relax guys, we'll take a step at a time, okay, mashallah. When the Prophet ﷺ finished, then the others will begin to speak, right? when he was silent, they began to speak. لَا يَتَنَازَعُونَ عِنْدَهُ الْحَدِيثِ They would not argue to who could speak. This is the amazing part. You have who in the gathering? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhum, right? Big Sahaba, big name Sahaba. Bilal, radiallahu anhu, Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. You got amazing Sahaba in the gathering, right? But if anyone wanted, whoever spoke first gets to speak. It doesn't matter. They don't take turns. Like Abu Bakr speaks first and Umar and things like that. There's none of that. It's very bait takalluf. Very without all this artificiality, all this artificialness. Like how do you, everyone has a turn to speak. No, no. If you spoke first, you spoke first. And how was every other Sahabi? مَنْ تَكَلَّمْ عِنْدَوْ أَنْصَتُوا لَهُ حَتَّى يَفْرُغَ Whoever spoke, they would be silent and listen to him until he finished speaking. This is the adab of a majlis. Not everyone's talking over each other. No one's even allowing each other to finish each other's speech. It's very, very rude. You know, that's why I have, you know, this is the thing. When someone is talking, it's very, very rude to cut them off. Sometimes a person will be talking for a while. And you just have to listen with adab and respect. Sometimes they're an elder. You have to listen. They deserve that. They lived in this world for 60, 70 years, mashallah. You should give them the little bit of time just to listen to what they have to say. I know it's going to take 10 minutes of your day, but you pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that time you respected an elder. So why not? Why not? You know, so just remember that when this person's speaking, don't cut them off. Then the Prophet, then the hadith continues, Hadithu awwalihim. That the speech of every person was as if the first person was speaking. In other words, it was either that it was on a first-come, first-served basis, or everyone who would be talking, we'd all listen to him as if he was the first one. Meaning it feels fresh. Every single time a person would speak, feel completely fresh. It wouldn't feel like it was getting lazy or boring. I don't want to listen anymore. Everyone would listen to each other with respect. And understand there were Arabis, Bedouins, etc. You know, people who were so frustrating to listen to. But every Sahabi would make it a point that the Prophet ﷺ wanted his gathering like that. And so everyone used to be listened to. I know a lot of times, you know, you get the brother who comes to you and tells you about things that you don't want to listen to. But again, without respect and love for the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just give him an ear. Why not? You know, if he's happy at the end, that alhamdulillah, he got to say what he wanted to say. And then at the end, you know, there was one brother I remember, who, I think the first 6 months I was here. After 6 months I was here. He came to me, he was like, I think it's 50, 60 year old. He came to me and started yelling at me, saying, he said, you wasted everyone's time for 6 months. None of your bayans made sense. They were talking all over people's heads. You wasted everyone's time. You know, in my mind, this is what I do. I create an uzr for them. I make an excuse. We should make at least 70 excuses for my brother. If someone doesn't come for Fajr, I tell myself, first of all, I'm the first one who will miss Fajr. I'm not an angel myself. Maybe the bichara was using the bathroom. It happens, right? Maybe his father-in-law is staying at home, so he's using the bathroom. He can't knock on the door. I completely understand. Sometimes the biryani, you know, the Big Bang Theory, you know, you know, the big bang in the toilet, whatever happens, you know, Allah Ta'ala knows. And I make a lot of excuses. So this brother here, I said, perhaps his wife was yelling at him, so he found a good chance to yell at Mawlana Sahib. Completely fine. Completely fine. You know, let's just listen to him. Let's just hear what he says. So he told me this, that's for 6 months, I didn't do it. And I said, Jazakallah khairan, please make dua for me. I'm still young, I'm still learning, etc. You know, why get into an argument? I don't have anything, I don't know anything, right? We don't know. Just with love for the ummati Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we just take it, you know? Okay? Be the second wife. Okay, be the second wife. Okay, not saying to take a second wife, but it's two different things. Okay, okay. Alright, so we continue. وَيَضْحَكُ مِمَّا يَضْحَكُونَ مِنْهُ And the Prophet ﷺ, when they laughed, he would laugh too. And يَتَعَجَّبُ مِمَّا يَتَعَجَّبُونَ مِنْهُ And when they were amazed by something, he would also be amazed. He would show them the same thing they wanted to see. You know, that's sympathy, right? That's empathy. When you can connect to people on a deeper level. If they were happy about something, he was happy too. If they were surprised, he was surprised. And وَيَصْبِرُ And the Prophet ﷺ would be لِلْغَرِيبِ عَلَى الْجَفَّةِ فِي مَنْطِقِهِ وَمَسْأَلَتِهِ He would be so patient at the questions and the harshness of a stranger. Okay? The Arabi doesn't, he asks questions that no one else could ask. He asks all the rude questions, he asks all the offensive questions. And Sahaba didn't like these people. You're like, what? How could they like them? is because the Sahaba had questions they want to ask themselves. But they're too embarrassed at the level of their teacher, Mu'allim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They can't ask him these questions. So the Arabi will come, and he's looking for to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like, yeah, come, I have the gathering. We can go sit there. And so this is the next part here. حَتَّى إِن كَانَ أَصْحَابُ يَسْتَجْلِبُونَهُمْ To the point that his companions, radiallahu anhu, used to bring these travelers to the assemblies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they want to hear the question and get the answer. They can't ask it themselves. So a lot of times what happens is what? You don't want to ask the question, the very embarrassing question. Very shameful question. So what do? You find a guy who has the same question about riba. It's like, yeah, go ask him. And I'll sit there and listen to it. You know, this is great, it's fine, you know. Because we'll be a lot more respectful to the stranger than we are to normal people. Who's like, why are you asking this question? You should know, right? But the stranger doesn't know, so we'll answer it as honestly, respectfully as we can, right? So this is the way the Prophet ﷺ was. He used to say, إِذَا رَيْتُمْ طَالِبَ حَاجَةٍ يَطْلُبُهَا فَأَرْفِدُوهُ If you find a person in need, seeking it, then guide him to me. The Prophet would tell them to do this. And the last part of, in this beautiful hadith is what? وَلَا يَقْبَلُ الثَّنَاءَ إِلَّا مِنْ مُكَافِئٍ He would not accept praise except by reciprocation. What this means is that if the Prophet ﷺ did something good for someone, then the Prophet ﷺ would say, if you said Jazakallah, you're such a nice person, such a generous person, he would accept that. But if you just started praising him, the Prophet ﷺ, he absolutely hated it. The Prophet ﷺ did not like people praising him. He didn't like people standing up for him. He said, don't stand to me like how كَمَا تَقُومُ الْعَاجِمِ Like how the Ajami people stand for their kings. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't stand for me like that. The Prophet ﷺ didn't like people to brag about him or boast about him and things like that. The Prophet ﷺ even said this hadith that if someone is praising you, then you know throw dirt into their mouths. This is how much the Prophet ﷺ did not like it. Okay, but he did accept it when a person, he did something good for them, they say, Jazakallah khairan, you're such a nice, amazing person. The Prophet ﷺ would take that much. But look at this. He would not cut anyone off in speech or praise until that person exceeded limits. Now if they start going, Fakhr, you know, Sayyidul Kawnain, Sahib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, Mustafa, Mujtaba, Anta Mujtaba, they start going very far, then the Prophet would say, okay, that's enough. Okay, alright, that's enough. The Prophet did not like it. He didn't like that type of boasting. Now we should think about ourselves. When people say it, Mawlana Sahab, oh, makes my heart flame. I feel so happy. Hazrat, oh wow, I'm a Hazrat now, mashallah. Hafiz Sahab, in Bangla's Hudur, right? You know, like, you start calling all these different names and people start getting bright. Why? And I'm worse than the dirt. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, how could a person be arrogant when he came out from a dirty path, right? From two dirty paths. And at the end, he becomes worm food. What is there to brag about in between? Right? What is this? A couple of millimeters of skin and people are bragging about it? They post it on Instagram like it's so important to show people. You know, it's nothing. We don't have anything. So if we remember that, inshallah ta'ala, we'll find that we can be in control. So that we should remember this. And this is, by the way, one of the habits, alhamdulillah, we've seen from our teachers. And we tried our best to also practice on. Which is that if you want someone to stop talking, we never cut them off. But we can get up. You can start to get up. When you start to get up, the person understands that the discussion is over. And that's not disrespectful. If you have to, you know, get ready to get going, something's going to take very long, obviously you can just start to get ready. And people can notice that, right? Your body language is telling you, okay, Mawasab's a little busy, so he has to go. And that's completely fine. And I think that's a nicer way than telling them, all right, stop it. All right, I have to go. No, just, you know, kind of caution yourself, walk towards the door. You know, sometimes I direct my feet towards the car, you know, to try to inch towards it while people are stopping me, like, on the way. So these are good ways, you know, techniques, small little things, you know, just start to worm there, you know, because you need to go, right? So, okay, so that's the last hadith in this chapter. Amazing, amazing hadith. We're going to start the next one, inshallah ta'ala, and we will hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, complete it tomorrow. With one more, inshallah. It's just the chapter about hijama. The hijama of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? I will only quote a couple of them and I'll give everyone the full chapter tomorrow, inshallah. Alright? So, ila Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu kasb al-hijam, faqala ihtajama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hajamahu Abu Taybata fa'amara lahu bi sa'in min ta'am. The first question in this chapter comes is that is it jayiz to pay the hajam? Right? That's the name for the guy who does your hijama. Hijama is a mubarak sunnah. Does everyone know what hijama is? Cupping? Okay, we're kind of aware. Okay. It is a sunnah the Prophet ﷺ, they used to do monthly. The Prophet ﷺ used to do it monthly. In the Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet ﷺ went up for Mi'raj, he passed by angels, and every single angel advised him that tell your ummah to do hijama. It's how important it is to the body. Okay, a lot of diseases are cured through hijama, but it has to be regularly done, right? And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned a lot of hadith, which we'll find in this chapter, about the benefits and barakah of hijama. Having said that, being a hajjam is not the best job in the world, right? Because of the fact that it's something that deals with blood. It's a very dirty job, okay? I know this from experience, right? I have like 5 years of experience under my belt, not to brag, okay? Alhamdulillah. I used to do it as a student because I needed to make money to get through madrasa. So it just kind of helped out, you know? So mashallah, you know, I got some hands, you know? Mashallah. So if you need it, I do it on when I'm free, you know? I don't charge anymore, alhamdulillah, because I'm fine now. You know, but the Prophet ﷺ, there was a question, right? Is it? I used to get a lot of heat in the madrasa because the teachers used to be like, you know, I don't even know if it's halal to take the money. You know, that's what they were joking with me because I was like 30 or 40 year. When it got to Dora Hadith, then you start seeing all the Hadith like, you guys are messing with me. So this is the first one. The Prophet ﷺ used to do hijama. Someone asked Anas radiallahu anhu, is it halal to pay the hijam? Right? And then he said the Prophet ﷺ himself made hijama. This man named Abu Taiba radiallahu anhu used to do hijama, and the Prophet used to pay him two containers of food. The Prophet used to pay him. So it's halal to pay your hajjami guy, okay? It's okay. And it's okay to have this occupation. I think it's a very important sunnah that people actually need. In terms of their health-wise, if we had it again, mashallah, you'd see a lot of diseases being cured. Because we're not doing it, our body is kind of clogged up. What does hijama do? It coagulates all the bad blood in the body, puts it in one area, and basically when he puts the small cuts, they're very, very gentle cuts, you know, very, very soft cuts, and what happens is what, all the blood will come out from there, the bad blood, and so your body will flow better, right? I would probably, having a car, I would probably give it akin to like an oil change, you know, like you'll be able to flush out the bad oil, right, and you can let the car function properly. Our bodies all have it. If you put these cups on, mashallah, they have a barakah in that. And if you do it regularly, you'll find yourself operating at a much better level, mashallah. There was one brother who I did in Bangladesh, I also did hijama, mashallah. You know, they're like, oh, he knows what to do, let's give him some cups and let's see where he goes. So in any case, there's one uncle, I just want to give you just one story about it. One uncle who could not lift his hand more than like 90 degrees, right? He couldn't lift it up over his head. So I put some cups on, I said, let's see if Allah Ta'ala gives shifa. So then we put some cups on. And then mashallah, at the end of the hijama, the man lifted his hand like this. I kid you not. I was like, I told him this is from Allah. We don't have any power over these things, right? Another one, a little funny one. We'll finish on this one. He's a Molana now. He used to have a very bad sweating problem. And I tell you, this is the efficacy of hijama. So he's like, I just sweat a lot. Like, and so, you know, we did hijama for like other things. His eczema and all these things, whatever, you know, all these other diseases this guy has. And so we do the hijama and we ask him like, how are you feeling? He's like, kind of the same, nothing's different, right? I talked to him a week later, he's coming back, he's like, hey, check this out. He lifts his arm. And I'm like, what are you trying to show me? He's like, look, there's no stain. He's like, I don't sweat anymore. I was like, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. You don't know. And I encourage everyone, inshallah ta'ala, if you have time, you can find other people. But if you like it, inshallah ta'ala, I'm more than willing to help revive the sunnah, you know? And inshallah, this is always a great thing to do, inshallah. We ask Allah for tawfiq and hidayah. Allah to allow us to inculcate or adopt the characteristics of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and allow us to try to fulfill, revive these sunan inshallah ta'ala. Okay, tomorrow is our last day. A reminder for everyone, it will start right after Isha, it's at 7 p.m. So please inshallah ta'ala come, especially for the dua that we make at the end inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.